Thankful this morning that the scripture says that the Lord is my shepherd. And he didn't ask us to shepherd ourselves, but he offers to be our shepherd. He's willing to lead us into green pastures, beside the still waters. The Lord restores our soul when we need restoring. He leads us through those valleys and dark places. And the promise is that surely, certainly, goodness, mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And the promise is that if we'll follow Him and allow Him to be our shepherd, that we will be able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm encouraged with that today. There are messages that are preached of doctrine. They're needful. There are messages that are preached of exhortation, teaching. But there are also messages that the Lord would have us preach of encouragement. There is much in the Scriptures to encourage us, to keep us going. And I believe that's the message that the Lord has inspired me today to deliver. Last Sunday, we shared a message on the wonderful truth that we have been chosen. You have been chosen. Thank you, Jared. I hope you haven't forgotten that. That you've been chosen. You're special. The Lord knows your name. He has a special place for you that no one else can take. You don't have to worry about all of the spots being filled up by the rush of everyone that may be trying to get to Jesus, because He has a path that remains open. A path. Visualize that. He has a path that goes from you to Jesus Christ that no one else can get in. And He keeps that path open all the way to His feet, that we are able to go and have a place chosen by the Lord for us to fill. And that is so encouraging to me today to know that. We talked about that last Sunday, and we ended with the exhortation to continue on. Continue doing what you know is right to do. And this morning I feel especially inspired to make that exhortation the focus of this morning's message. To continue on. Have you ever felt like you couldn't catch a break in life? Or is it just me? Have you ever felt like you couldn't catch a break maybe in a given day at school, at work, at home? Dads that are at work, moms, busy at home with the children at school, just living life. And you feel like that if it isn't one thing, it's another. You say, well, brother, it isn't just the day. I feel like my week's gone that way. Somebody else raises their hand and said, I feel like that's the way my month is gone. Just don't feel like I can catch a break. Somebody else raises their hand and say, my year's been like that. It just seems like every time I turn around, something else. And there may be somebody that's sitting here today, and you feel like your life has been that way. That every time you turn around, and maybe just when you think that maybe you're going to get to the top of that difficult hill, it's a bigger mountain in front of you. I remember at work one time, it seemed like if anything could go wrong, it did. And I remember stepping out into the stairs one day, leaving a meeting, and somebody looked at me and said, "Just when you think it can't get any more difficult, it slips into another gear." I never forgot that. I feel like I've seen a few of those gears in life. How about you? And those are real feelings. These are real circumstances that we feel in life. And if you feel like that it's just you, I want to encourage you this morning that it's not just you. That's life. And we are going to face places in life where we wonder why. And we don't understand. And I've also found in life that when the burdens are especially rough and you feel especially difficult loads, it's not a good time to make life-changing decisions. That's not a good time to drastically change course most of the time when you're overcome with emotion. And this morning, brothers and sisters, that is not the time to give up. It's not the time to give up. That is the time to gird up the loins of your mind and your heart and settle in and press on. That's what God would have of us to do in life. I feel like this morning that the enemy of our souls would like to get us in a state spiritually. Sometimes through physical affliction, sometimes through emotional distress. Sometimes those aren't involved, but sometimes they are. To get us in a place where we can feel like we can't catch a break spiritually either. That's real. And it doesn't mean that we're not saved. But the enemy knows how to come against us. And sometimes it includes facing truths that we don't understand. Truths about other people. Truths about ourselves. Truths that we perhaps find in the Word of God that we're having difficulty adopting in our own lives. And we can get to the place where we can feel like just throwing up our hands and giving up and backing away from those things that we were already doing right, those things that we already knew to be true and right and good. If the enemy has his way with us, he likes to come in and overwhelm us in areas of our life where we then give up and are tempted to give up and throw up our hands on even that which we know is good. Have you ever heard the turn of phrase, "Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater"? Now sometimes this analogy doesn't always apply, because sometimes it isn't just bathwater that people throw out. Sometimes they're tempted to throw out good things. But to the best that I understand, that turn of phrase, "Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater," it's been around for something like 500 plus years. When it was first maybe kind of written down, that's what I've seen. And what it means is, don't throw out the good with the unwanted. Why would you ever throw a baby out with the bathwater? Just because the bathwater is undesirable now at this place, you don't have a place for it. It's unwanted now. You need to get rid of it. Don't throw out the good that's right there in it. And we look at that and we say, well, we would never do that. And yet sometimes even as Christians, In our Christian lives, sometimes we can encounter truths that maybe aren't easily understood. We've preached about the wayside seed that was sown out, and it fell on the wayside. And we learned that in some many cases, that's those places where it's not understood. And so you let go of it. And you let good that God had for us be taken away. And we give it up. And we let the fowls of the air come and steal it away from us. Sometimes the thorns of life come in unexpected and begin to consume and take space and push out. And we allow those things to stay, and we begin to feel overwhelmed by all of the things that come in. Some of them we readily accept. And in the process, we let go the very things that we know are good. We talked about stones, stony ground. And we hit hard places in life. Maybe we don't know why it's there. Maybe it's completely unexpected. Sometimes we just feel like throwing up our hands and saying, well, this just isn't a good place. And people can walk away from a beautiful ground that has so much to offer. I want to encourage you this morning, be aware of the tactics of the enemy to cause you to give up, to walk away from that you know is right, with the catalyst being that you feel overwhelmed with so many other things. Let's not do that. Let's take courage this morning and by the grace of God, continue on. I'd like to return this morning to the 8th chapter of John. We referred to this last Sunday. I'd like to read a couple of these verses. John 8 and 25 says, "Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." They understood not that he was speaking to them of his Father. And the 30th verse said, "As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him," listen closely to this, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's a conditional statement. If you continue, not just continue wherever you want to go, but if you will continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth. And that truth that you find as a result of continuing in my word shall make you free. This account starts with Jesus being asked, "Who are you?" That's what they asked him. And it seemed like such a simple question. You know, we run across people, say, "Hi, my name's Rod. What's your name?" Now, "Who are you again?" Question has been asked many times, but on this day when Jesus was asked, "Who are you?" It may have seemed like a simple question to ask, but it had such profound ramifications with it. "Lord, who are you? Lord, what are you? Lord, what is it that you mean? What do you bring? And Lord, what responsibility do I have to you? What does it mean for me? And I believe that that's a question that many of us are asking through the course of our lives, isn't it? Lord, do you know me? Lord, do I have a place in your kingdom? Lord, do you really know who I am? Do you really know me personally? Lord, are you really the God that created all of this? And Lord, is there really a judgment? Lord, am I really going to stand before you and give an account? Lord, what does this mean? And how do I fit into this plan? Haven't you thought those things before in life? Lord, what is my purpose? Do I have purpose? Or am I just here and then I'm gone and there's a little piece of concrete that gets put in my grave with some dates and then I'm forgotten and then other people come and then pretty soon they're forgotten. Lord, is that all there is? Or are you Lord? Do you know me? And do I have responsibility to you? And I believe that largely was some of what was going through their mind that day. And Jesus' answer to who he was, his reply, he said, I am the same that I said unto you from the beginning. There isn't anything that's changed. Nothing has changed. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am an unchanging God. I am an unchanging Lord. At the end of this chapter, in verse 58, it says that before Abraham was, I am. Jesus Christ is timeless. This morning, Jesus Christ is still timeless. His message is that I want the same today as I wanted 1,000 years ago. I want the same today that I wanted from the very beginning of time. From the very time that creation occurred and that man was created. I want the same thing now. I want to be your God. I want you to be my people. I want to find a people that is willing to serve me. I want to find a people that are willing to glorify my name. I want a people that I am willing to bring peace and fulfillment to in life. Oh, I want a people that choose me. I have chosen them. I am looking for a people that are willing to choose me too. Jesus Christ said, I am the same that I said to you from the very beginning. Well, there are those today that say that the Bible was written during a time that is unlike today. Well, they've got that right. It was written during a time that is unlike today. And people go further sometimes and say, well, the Bible was written for a people that they didn't think about things the way that we think about them today. Well, they got that right too. There are a lot of things where people think the same. But sadly today, it's almost like we're going in this circle where people don't even recognize unrighteousness and sin for what it is. People call good evil and evil good, right wrong, wrong right, bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. And it's been that way. Isaiah prophesied that a long time ago. And we're seeing that today. But there is one thing that has not changed. Jesus Christ is the same today as he was then. And he still has the same power. He still has the same plan. He still has the same expected end that he wants every one of us to experience, an end of peace. Well, the Lord went on, and he said that he had many things to say and to judge of us. And when the reality of who the Lord is and the responsibility that is associated with the reality that he is God and that he knows us, he has called us by name, and that he has a plan for us as individuals, and we begin to internalize by the help of the Lord that truth, and that he says that he has many things to say and judge of us, that sobers me. Doesn't it you? God says that he has many things to say to me and judge of me. It's sobering to me. It gives me pause. And then when I look in front and behind, and I look to the right and left, and I feel the pressures that are associated with life, can take us back to where we started this morning, that sometimes we can feel overwhelmed and we can wonder. Sometimes people can be tempted to give up. And even when they give up, not sure where to go next. Many of Jesus' disciples heard his sayings, and they said, it's a hard saying. And they turned, and it said they walked with him no more. But it never said where they went. Where'd they go? To an easier place? To a place that led them to a land of greater promise? It never said. We know. Jesus turned to his other disciples and he said, Are you going to go too? You've heard the same hard saying. Are you going to leave too? Are you going to throw up your hands? Are you going to give up doing what you know is right to do? Peter said, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There isn't anywhere else good to go. Jesus then exhorted and encouraged us with what to do here. His exhortation was, continue. Continue in my word. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't look for another land. Don't fall for the empty promises of the world. Don't give in to emotion that'll pass. Don't give yourself to the affections of this life that will pass away. Jesus said, here's the answer. Jesus knew that there are times in our lives where we feel what can be and feel like an overwhelming uncertainty. And we wonder what our purpose is. And we wonder if we're doing any good. And we wonder, where is this leading? Jesus understood all of that. And his exhortation was, Listen. Continue on. Continue on, not in your own way. Don't continue on in a way that you believe is best and that seemeth right unto man. But he said here, continue in my word. Cast not away your confidence. Hebrews 10 and 35. Cast not away your confidence with that which hath great recompense or reward. Don't cast it away. A little bit earlier in that same chapter, Hebrews 10, maybe 23. Hold fast your profession of faith. For he is faithful that promised. Hold fast. When you feel like giving up, when you're not sure what your purpose is, when you feel like that you're being pushed to and fro and the way is not clear ahead and it feels like things are crumbling around you and you begin to question if you're even where you're supposed to be, the Lord outlined our purpose. He outlined the answer for us that will get us through. Continue. Just continue on. Continue doing what you know is right. Don't take your foot off the gas pedal. Keep going. Don't give up. I'll be with you. Don't cast away your confidence. Hold fast your faith. Forget those things which are behind, Paul said. I reach forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God this morning. Be determined to press on, to continue on, regardless of what walls may seem to crumble around you. Sometimes we look around and things that we felt like were walls and bulwarks fall. Sometimes we're disappointed in people. Sometimes we're very disappointed in ourselves. Sometimes we encounter the unexpected that touches the innermost parts of our hearts in ways that we're not sure how we're going to go on. And Jesus knew that. And he wanted to give us something that was simple and not complicated. And so without a lot of words, he said, continue. Just keep going. Continue on. Give yourself to understanding what the word of the Lord is. And know that I am a God of love. I am a God of care. I am a God of compassion. I am your shepherd. And I will lead you through those dark places into everlasting life if you'll trust me. Do you want to be a disciple of the Lord this morning? Do you want to experience freedom? Do you want to walk in light? Do you want to know that you do have purpose and that your work is not in vain? Don't we all want that? Don't we all have a desire to be accepted by the Lord and to feel like we have purpose in life? The enemy likes to come in and say, you really don't have purpose. You really don't mean a whole lot. You really don't have an important place in the work of the Lord. What is your purpose anyway? And we say, I don't know that I have a talent that's so great that stands out. I'm just me and my faults. You have a purpose. And it's important. And only you can fill it. And the Lord said, this is the foundation of it. Continue doing what you know to do is right. And I can hear the Lord saying, and I will take those loaves and fishes, and I will use it to feed those that are in need. You can't in of yourselves, but I can, saith the Lord. You be willing and steadfast to just continue doing what you know is right, and I will lead you to the light. Folks, we can do this. I think of that verse in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. You don't have to turn there. In the first verse, wherefore seeing we also are compassed, wherefore seeing we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weights and the sins that doth so easily beset us, and let's run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I like, if you'll just give me a little license, I like thinking about this first part of the verse where it says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Do you believe that you have spiritual cheerleaders this morning? There's influences in the world that's trying to get us off track, and I believe there's influences that's trying to keep us on track. And this verse said, wherefore seeing also we are compassed, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And I like to think about the angels in heaven that the Lord has said, you over here, and you, angels, maybe people that have made it to the other side, that become our angels, that have walked the road that we have walked, that have faced the dark times and the hard times and the places where we've questioned purpose and those places where we wondered, is God there or not? You, over there, come here. One of my children, his name's Rod Smith. And I want you to cheer him on. I want you to surround him. I want you to help encourage him. You angels, you people over here that have walked the life, come here. I have another one of my people that's endeavoring to run this race. And he does it for all of us. And we're compassed about. And we're surrounded by people that have made it over to the other side. And they've seen what it means to stay true. Because they did it. And so can we. So can you. And they're saying, you can do this. Come on. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't be pushed down and discouraged and take a detour some way. Press on. Continue on in doing what you know is right to do. Perhaps it's a grandmother or a grandfather that you had, or a mother or a father or somebody that loved you and took a special interest, and they passed on to the other side. This is my thinking. And the Lord in His love sends them back to us with His Spirit to take a special interest, to encourage us to go on. God wants to bring us life and fulfillment. He wants to free us from the bondage that this world brings. He wants to give us eternal life. He doesn't want us to give up or give in. Lord, may God help us, each one, that we be faithful. I don't want to give up. I want to continue on. Let's not overcomplicate it this morning. I'd like to close with just relating this story. The very next chapter in the 9th verse, Jesus passed by and he saw a blind man, and his disciples saw the blind man and they said, who did the sin? Did the blind man do the sin, or did his parents do the sin? Surely there must be something wrong because he's blind. And the Lord looked at it and he said, none of them did anything wrong. His parents didn't sin. He didn't sin. But this is for the glory of God. Folks, sometimes the Lord does exactly the opposite of what it seems to us that He would do. Sometimes when we are looking for more light, we encounter dark places. Sometimes when we feel like that we need loads taken off, He allows loads to come in on us. Not to destroy us, but for the glory of God, that the works of God should be made manifest in Him, the Scripture says. And at that time, He reached down and He spit in the ground, in the clay, and He made up this clay spitball. And He applied it to the man's blind eyes. What? Clay? Spit? Dirt? Why would you do that? The man needs to see. And yet we lose faith in God so quickly when we feel like we're gasping for air. We need air. We don't need more water. And just when we feel like we're about to reach the surface, we feel like we're pushed back down under. We say, Lord, that's not what I needed. I was trying to see. I didn't need dirt put in my eyes. And yet that's exactly what Jesus did. And He told the man, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he did, and he came forth seeing. Jesus gave simple instruction, and the man exercised simple obedience. And my message this morning is intended to be simple. Continue on doing what you know is right to do. When you encounter hard places, don't give up. Don't stop coming to church. If you hear something that's hard to hear, if something touches you in a way and you just think it's impossible, don't give everything up. Don't stop coming to worship service. Don't stop coming before the Lord in your private prayer closet. Don't stop asking God to help you live for Him. Continue doing the things that you know to do and ask Him to give you grace and help in your time of need. And if we will do that, this path that the Lord has made for us, it is a path of no regret. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with God. And if we will, we will make it through to the end, and perhaps God will then use us to be part of that great cloud of witnesses that can encourage others on too. Maybe we could stand this morning and sing a song of encouragement. There's a song that says, "Press On." Maybe we could sing that song. 261, I believe there's six verses in that song. Let's sing verses 1 through 3 and end with verse 5. Press on. Amen.